This is PBF Public Radio. Radio Free America. This is your host, Romeo One Oscar, coming to you on PBF Public Radio. Okay. Got a few things to discuss today. Pennsylvania judge rules some late ballots don't count. Secretary of State lacked authority to extend ID deadline. A Pennsylvania judge ruled on Thursday that the state cannot count late ballots, which required voters to provide proof of identification to cure them by an arbitrary deadline set by the Secretary of State. After the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled that mail-in ballots could be accepted 3 days after Election Day, a separate issue in dispute, Pennsylvania Secretary of State Kathy Buchvar submitted her own guidelines that said proof of ID could be provided up to November 12th, 3 days from ballot acceptance deadline. The order is notably separate from a challenge to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court decision to allow late ballots and invalidates only those subject to Buchvar's extension to cure a lack of ID between November 10th and 12th. So the court concludes that in her official capacity as Secretary of the Commonwealth, lacked statutory authority to issue the November 1, 2020 guidance to respondents' county boards of elections insofar as the guidance purported to change the deadline. For certain electors to verify proof of identification, wrote Judge Hannah Leavitt. According to the court, hereby orders the respondent's county board of elections are enjoined from counting any ballots that have been segregated pursuant to paragraph 1 of this court's order dated November 5th, 2020. So, Jack Persovic responded and just said that today's Pennsylvania court ruling is significant not because of the amount of ballots it affected, but because it sets the legal precedent that Pennsylvania's Secretary of State did not have statutory authority to override election law. Neither did the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, only the legislature. So we're going to have to see how this plays out, because this could help push it into the Supreme Court. And I don't know if you guys follow this. I had posted some of these into our story. But it's from Code Monkey Z, Ron. Apparently, he's been really digging into Dominion software. And one of the things he had pointed out on the 11th, Wednesday, Veterans Day, the Pennsylvania state was sending blank ballots out to people. Sending a blank ballot allows the software to tabulate votes differently from a ballot that is correctly populated. Whether these blank ballots were used for fraud is an exercise for investigators to prove. And, you know, he's been going through all the vendor user guides. And basically, one of the things he found is that the software itself allows election workers to copy and paste files and folders to the USB without tampering. Some of this information is up on his Twitter, but he makes an interesting point. What if election fraud was as easy as dragging votes from one folder to another? You can just copy paste, Control C, Control X. Who are the county representatives between 2 and 6 people per county? that had official training for the ICC device in their county. Now, something a good buddy of mine, Z, sent to me, which is, I don't even know what to say. So, the Dominion Voter Systems, which is responsible for the software, I mean, everybody's entitled to their free speech. Don't get me wrong here. Simultaneously, it's worthwhile to look at the individuals working at companies. Dominion Voting Systems has a Dr. Coomer. What an unfortunate name, Dr. Coomer. He's a patent holder, and he doesn't like our president much at all. Now, a lot of this was highlighted by a individual, Altman. What's his first name? Sorry, he was suspended. I was trying to find this guy. Joel Altman, Dominion Voter Systems co-owner and inventor. Dr. Eric Coomer has made social media posts in the past directly connecting him to Antifa. Dominion Voting is based in Denver, Colorado. Coomer graduated with a PhD in nuclear physics from the University of California, Berkeley, and began working in the election industry in 2005 with a company called Sequoia Voting Systems as their chief software architect. In 2008, after Sequoia was acquired by Dominion, Coomer took the position as the vice president of U.S. engineering, overseeing development in the Denver, Colorado office. Coomer's most recent title was director of product strategy, tasked with creating the next generation of voting products for election departments throughout the world. Coomer is listed as an inventor of 12 patents registered to Dominion. Social media sleuths captured Coomer's alleged Facebook post before his social media accounts were scrubbed. When the election controversy involving Dominion voting machines and software broke. And of course, we know that the machines and software are linked to a glitch. Now, according to Altman, Coomer's now deleted Facebook post included his sharing songs titled Dead Cops, Dead Prez, and ACAB, All Cops Are Bastards. One of the most particularly interesting is a long statement from Antifa he shared in June in response to President Trump, declaring Antifa a terrorist organization. And what Altman said specifically before he was surreptitiously deleted by our overlords at Twitter. These are posts that Eric Coomer posted in May. Notice the anti-American sentiment. The under message is in these posts. Eric Coomer is a major shareholder in Dominion Voting Systems, holder of election system patents, and an Antifa supporter. And I want to address those asking to verify if these Facebook posts are real. I run a large tech company. I signed an affidavit certifying everything I put out to be true. I am 100% positive it is the real Eric Coomer, who is also trying to purge the internet. So what did he say? And here's his post. In case you didn't know, Antifa has made a statement, all media, public statement from Antifa in response to the threats issued by United States President Donald J. Trump. Dear Mr. Trump, let us be perfect. Antifa isn't an organization. There's no membership, no meetings, no dues, no rules, no leaders, blah, 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 blah. It's all the gaslighting BS. And then he went on to talk, it goes on about, you know, universal basic income, universal single payer healthcare without regard for citizenship status. This one was interesting. The creation of a publicly funded nonpartisan media source to serve as the primary source of government information to be overseen and managed day to day by a coalition of well-known communicators, political scientists, and other experts in propaganda to strip all bias from official information before it is broadcast. Yeah. NPR. We know how unbiased they are, right? Federal charges of treason filed against anyone willfully and knowingly attempting to minimize public perception of the impact and risk of coronavirus. Who the hell wrote that? Think about that. Minimize public perception of the impact? Basically, you can't say anything wrong? The software has allowed itself open for question because of glitches. At the end of the day, guys, it's going to come down to proving if there was problems, but it's worth looking at the types of individuals behind this. And this man has openly posted things anti president. He's responsible for the software in the election. I'm not comfortable with this guy handling anything. And what's really interesting is that he got at least listed from and removed from Dominion Voting Systems on Lead Candy. They scrubbed the internet of him. But ultimately, Joe Altman said that there was more to come, and guess what? He was deleted because the truth hurts. This was a piece from a couple of days ago by Samuel Finlay. 2020 is the veterans election. We have been in service to a country run by people who don't believe in countries. If you're reading this and have done a stretch downrange, you probably know that this already at some level. At this point in the game, you probably know it even if you haven't. For a long time now, it has been a hard lesson that many of every generation who serve under the Star-Spangled Banner wind up learning. Yet somehow the lesson is lost and forgotten by the next time war rolls around and the managerial class needs Americans to pay the blood price. I suppose we grow content in the peace after our time of trial, wanting only to surround ourselves with home and family and visions of prosperity and plenty, free from hardships we'd known. Perhaps there are grand designs burning a hole in our hearts, revolving around the love of a sweetheart or ambitions involving the GI Bill, or maybe doing something as simple as my papa wanted to after the war. Move off back in the woods so far they got a pump in daylight. I wonder if coming to grips with this knowledge was as hard for you as it was for me. I was born and raised in Oklahoma, and my family has been putting sweat and dirt in the dirt of this country somewhere or another since the founding. And we have fought in its wars. Willingness to serve our country, should it call, has been a part of my family's culture, as I'm sure it has for many of you. Whatever our grievances with the politicians of the day, if push comes to shove, we would fight. Over the course of my life, though, I came to see things my family loved or believed attacked from every corner by those who shape the opinions and agenda of this country. As a college student back in the back half of the 90s, it seemed to reach a fevered pitch with what was becoming known as political correctness. But I soon enlisted and was busy learning the world of the infantrymen to devote much time to thinking about. And it became merely an inchoate frustration. Returning from my second deployment would change that. As those who fought in the early years of the War on Terror will remember, there had been a great deal of ire directed at the Bush administration, rightfully so in my opinion. I noticed around the time of the 2004 election, however, the narrative began to shift from President Bush to red staters as a whole. While at Walter Reed, I remember reading a particularly vicious editorial reprinted from The Stranger and variations of its theme threaded through the media. People like my family were standing in the way of utopia and were no longer worthy of representation as a constituency. After a time spent traveling, I had hoped to serve again in some capacity despite my reservations and found my way back to the university. It soon became apparent that for the people on the other side of the curriculum, the post-World War II had grown much too small and the stakes far too high for the continued existence of countries and their delusions of sovereignty. And it was the role of the enlightened people to foster institutions of global governance in their stead. It was spelled out in black and white, available for all to see, and had been since before I was born. The future was to be a borderless world in which people, money, goods, and services moved unfettered under the custody of an international class of credentialed technocrats. And the United States was to be its prophet. Globalism wasn't a conspiracy, it was the consensus. It was institutionalized. It was the ethos of those who shaped and implemented policy, whether they be entrenched in academia, business, and finance, or government and its bureaucracy. And if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, as the poet said. With the 2016 election, I was floored to find a candidate running for office who dared to call it by name. America was being betrayed by corrupt and incompetent leaders and looted by scavengers. And by God, that was gonna change. There was to be an end to open-ended wars abroad with vague objections. American policy, whether on economics or immigration, would be fashioned to benefit actual Americans rather than the nebulous false god of humanity at large. Whether he was sincere or if he'd make good or not was most irrelevant. It was worth voting for him, if for no other reason than to put a shot across the bow of globalist. The years since then have been a parade of funhouse mirrors with one grotesque caricature or farce after another portrayed to us by a hostile media driven with mad with their diminishing loss of control over the proles. The usual suspects trot out their experts and act out an almost vaudeville routine to try and seduce the world with what we later discovered to be half-truths, if not outright lies. What has happened with this year's election, however, is beyond pale. First, there was the sudden freeze in counting within the battleground states, followed by the late-night drops of pro-Biden votes and statistically impossible ratios that put third-world dictators to shame. Then there was the sudden, apparently rising en masse to vote, the removal of Republican poll watchers, the senile Biden receiving a high percentage of votes in the states that had stopped counting, than his predecessor, the higher percentage of votes in the states that had stopped counting than his predecessors Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama had at the height of their popularity. We saw tech leader Mark Zuckerberg contributing millions for polling locations and dropbacks in the battleground states that saw the drastic spike in Biden votes. The very address of the Biden-Harris transition team website is based on the same slogan espoused by the Great Reset advocate by the Globalist World Economic Forum. And we know there was a gathering this summer of high-ranking Democrat and never-Trump operatives to wargame options for removing President Trump in the unfolding of events in suspicious lockstep with color revolution tactics used abroad. Reports of voting fraud continued to pour in, and if we saw or read such things happening in other countries, we'd call it corruption and everyone knows it. In their obsession to oust the orange monster in their minds, the aspiring global managerial class has crossed a line and this demands a response. When we enter service, we swear an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. What does that mean, though, when the majority of the other side of that oath see it merely as a means to manipulate your sense of honor or love of country? What does it mean when that Constitution no longer describes the way power really works in America now, or fails to address the international networks of patronage that truly dictate policy today? How do concepts like treason even apply when almost the entire political class, and especially those who teach them, ceased to believe in nations long ago and have elected instead to offer up what remains on the altar of a utopia that will never come? We have been betrayed, and it's time to stop tolerating it. We can begin by refusing to accept the results of this election as it stands, to call the fraud for what it is, and demand those who presume to be our leaders to take action on our behalf. If they truly believe in what can be said to remain of the rule of law in the Constitution, hold them to it and require they support what investigations and hearings are to come. Let them know our loyalty must be returned and cannot be bought. Make it clear that this is our home, regardless of what the parasites in Davos or Harvard or Wall Street or D.C. Regardless of what the parasites say in Davos or Harvard or Wall Street or D.C. And we will not be intimidated by bullies, mobs, pretenders, and frauds. And then we wait. This is Romeo 1 Oscar, and I am out.